soon to a...
A man has seen every... Hell comes to Huntsville.
Y'all want that again?
Yeah.
Christine, 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 Christine. I'm begging you, don't run over my man.
Fucking idiot.
Fuck you, fucking idiot.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's so good.
Welcome to hell, bitch.
Sup, bitch.
Welcome back to Hell Comes to Huntsville, our 31-day journey through horror movies, through slasher flicks, through creature features, and haunted car movies.
Yes, and through bonding. Three individuals bonding.
Yeah, at the end of this, we will be all better friends or fucking hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the end of two podcasts.
No. We're going to be good.
Nah.
Be fine. No.
Hell Comes to Huntsville, a collaborative effort between Huntsville Home Video and America's Barley Basket, established 2021. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster, my host on Huntsville Home Video, who you know, you love, you hear from us every single week.
Yeah. Love is a big word, but I really appreciate the love.
You know, you kind of like... You tolerate with us across the pond. That's not even correct.
That's wrong. Fuck you.
On the other side, on the other side of the Mississippi, from America's Barley Basket, joining us for our trip through Hell Comes to Huntsville, Marlon Wells. How are you, man?
Hello from across the pond, matey. tea and biscuits. What's all this then?
I mean, across the pond, the land of 10,000 lakes, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live, coming at you. Fargo, North Dakota, really living large.
Yeah, a hotbed of podcast activity out there in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are out here. We are in these streets. We are killing it. We are making it hot.
Damn. That sounds legit, son.
we out here podcasting in these streets.
The seasons of 5 months of death and staying indoors is right upon us.
Yeah, that cold wind is starting to blow.
Oh, God.
Up there in those parts. We're still wearing shorts down here in Huntsville.
I'm all right with it because once the cold comes... A, that means spooky time. That means Halloween right around the corner. B, it means the fuckheads that protest at the abortion clinic, they go inside too, because that shit is cold. That is too cold for them and their God. So yeah. They wrap that shit up for a few months.
We will stand and let our opinions be known as long as the outside conditions are favorable.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit, it's cold. Oh shit, no, put the signs away. We gotta go. God damn.
I bet if you looked at a graph, like the abortion rates go way up in the winter in North Dakota because there's less protesters.
There's no ridicule.
Yeah,
it's easier. Yep.
Man, I wish I wouldn't have gotten knocked up in June. That was prime protesting weather.
Oh, I ain't gotta walk through a quarter mile of dickheads calling me a murderer. Awesome. I'm just gonna go.
I'll take two, please.
I don't think that's how that works.
Oh. Well, what if they were twins? Then, yeah.
Is that just one solid abortion or is that two abortions? Is that... Oh, shit. How does that count?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Either way, you're going to hell.
I think it's just one long one.
It's the abortion, the act, or the murder? Because then it's two. Which one?
Oh God!
Oh shit!
Man, we got episode two off to a rocking start.
We can't go into dead babies this soon. This is terrible.
All right, we'll save dead babies for like the 15th.
Yeah, I mean you could hit it up at five.
Okay, all right,
we can do five. Oh man.
Wait, let me hit up this Google search. Movies just about dead babies.
Fucking A.
Yes, welcome to day two of Hell Comes to Huntsville. We are ripping through 31 horror movies at the suggestion of my good friend Marlon Wells, who every year he does his own kind of thing. Not in necessarily, he never did it in podcast form. He just kind of did it to do it. He started putting these reviews on Facebook. A little something you like to call Hell's Wells, Marlon.
Absolutely. 31 movies, 31 days. Just like a fun thing I decided to do one year. I was like, you get the spooky spook vibes going once October comes. You want to watch some movies? Why not fucking challenge yourself? Because sometimes it is a challenge because fucking life happens and shit. So you're like, can I fit 31 into 31? I think I can. Let's do it. And yeah, it makes for a good time, a whole month of just drinking in the bad juju of the horror films.
Yeah, get a little pumpkin spice going and watch some spooky films. Mm-hmm.
I ate a pumpkin spice Quest bar not 40 minutes ago.
Fuck yeah.
Oh God, I have yet to have anything pumpkin spice at all this year. I don't even think I had it last year. I've had one pumpkin spice latte in my lifetime.
Join us, Lily.
No.
Join us.
Must resist.
One of us.
One of us. One of us.
Gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble.
If only you had like a good friend who has a knack for introducing you to new shit that you don't have an experience with that you usually end up liking.
I can't let Jack take over any more of my life.
I mean, I've already taken
fair.
Over so
you know
much.
What? I get that. I get it.
I got to censor myself in public and on the air now because there's too much Jack in there. It's like, tell all these soccer moms to go fuck themselves. Like, I hear that constantly, and I'm like, ah!
I'm shocked you haven't said cubicle bitches on the air yet.
Them cubicle hoes.
It's oh, shit.
It's super adorable because about 16 years ago, Marlon felt the exact same way you do now.
Oh no! See,
and I
am the Marlon.
Understand?
If only you knew the young, innocent Marlon that I met 16 years ago. My goodness!
Damn!
I get it. That riptide is strong. That you gotta really hold on to yourself, or you'll lose yourself. But you gotta dip your toe in the pumpkin spice. It's good. Yeah, it's
see?
Good for you.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Dip the toe in the pumpkin spice. I should be okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah. But be aware, that opens the floodgates.
Ah, shit. Mm-hmm. Trying so hard. I'm out here, man.
Man, pretty soon the three of us going to be on two different group chats. One for this podcast, the other for pumpkin spice.
I know.
Okay, I'm in.
Yep, I knew you would be, Marlon. I knew you would be.
I was staring at some of them pumpkin spice Cheerios like yesterday.
Oh, those are so good. And then what makes it even better is after you have them in the milk in the cereal bowl, you basically have a pumpkin spice chai right there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to call y'all a couple of bitches, but
I mean, you can.
I mean,
it sounds like you're gonna.
Yeah. Is where we tell you that, yeah, we might be a couple basic pumpkin drinking bitches.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still fucking fight you in the street.
It's true. Because yeah. We're out mm-hmm. here in these
in
streets.
In our Uggs and our yoga pants.
Yep. Man, you ever whoop someone's ass in some Uggs? Like, your feet remain completely comfortable. Not so great for the person whose ass you're kicking.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ultimate insult to injury, my friend.
Oh, if you kick someone's ass,
if you
in
kick
some
someone's
Uggs?
Yeah, it's like a man slapping another man down.
Yeah.
That's insult to injury. It's the same as with Uggs. I feel like that is such a right in the hypothetical nutsack.
Man, I'm gonna kick you so hard with these. I'm gonna kick your ass in some Uggs while your girlfriend holds my scarf.
Yeah. But you're never going to let go of your pumpkin spice.
No.
No. You just need the scarf free, not the pumpkin spice hand.
Yeah, I'm going to drunken master some kung fu. Not spilling a drop.
I believe it. I see it in you.
Let's get into day two of Hell Comes to Huntsville. Let's chat about 1983's John Carpenter's Christine.
Does it belong to anybody else? Is that it?
John Carpenter, Stephen King's Christine.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You are super excited to put this movie on the list.
The book has sat on my shelf for a long time, and I've not read it. I love Stephen King books, but have not gotten around to that one. It sits on the shelf. And now I really need to. Now that I've seen the movie, I for sure should.
Yeah, because there is a definite... within the world of Stephen King movies, very few are exactly the same as the book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of changes, a lot of differences. Some things are better in the movie. Some things are better in the book. Some are just universally shitty. I mean, no one bats a thousand.
No.
But Christine...
That's true. But I do think that Stephen King movie batting average is... more, I think there's more sinkers than floaters. I think there's more good Stephen King movies than there are bad ones. But they are for sure out there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What would we say is the overall consensus on this particular movie? Is it a sinker? Is it a floater? Let's go to our guest, Marlon Wells, calling in from Moorhead, Minnesota.
Into it. I like this one.
All right. Leanne Foster.
Boring!
What?
Oh, God. That one was a chore.
Didn't like it,
didn't
huh?
care for it at all.
All right. Damn.
No, I didn't get into it. I didn't get into it. I mean, I don't think that I necessarily hated the concept of it. I mean, it's different and it's kind of interesting, but it was boring.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Oh, God, with the questions.
how dare we have a conversation?
Again, I just want to tell you my opinion.
God, you sound like everyone on Facebook.
I sound like all them cubicle hoes we were talking about.
I just want my opinions to be known. I don't want to be questioned.
No, don't come at me, bro. Don't come at me.
You talk with your pumpkin spice bitch about this movie.
Yeah.
I've let you know my opinion.
What's your question?
So my question technically is for both of you, mm-hmm. Since the two gentlemen on the podcast liked the movie. Mm-hmm. The lady did not.
Yeah.
Do you think, because Marlon, maybe this you agree with this. Part of the reason why I like this movie so much is that I think there's just something inherent in dudes about their first car.
I think there's something to that. I don't think that it's necessarily gender specific, but I do think there is something to your first car. That was like, I certainly never thought of that until you just brought it up. So if that is in there in me, it's subconscious, I guess. It didn't really have anything to do with that for me. The to Lily's point, I will absolutely say that I think you could shave about 30 minutes off this movie and lose nothing.
Easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that might have helped everybody. I do think there is plenty of fat to trim on this flip.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
This movie was not a lean machine. I'm done now. Y'all can talk.
I heard you knocking, but you can't come in.
No, I think that was really my thing with it. Like, again, I didn't necessarily, like, there's movies that we've gone into where I'm like, I hate all of this. I hate the concept. I hate everything. There were parts of it I like. I think there was just so much to trim. It just was so slow to me. It's like we could have had so much more action with the car. We could have had more haunted car. I just, it just needed to end.
Well, for me, part of why I enjoyed this movie so much is I, you know, very much identify with that, you know, that love of a car.
Yes.
That, you know, you my first car was a piece of shit. Like I wanted my parents, they said they were going to give me $1,500 towards a car. Anything over that I had to pay for. I was like, cool. Awesome. I found this old Mustang and I wanted to get that. I think it was like $2,000 and I had a part-time job at the time. I was going to come up with the extra $500. It was a fixer upper, but I wanted to fix it up with my dad. I thought that would have been a good bonding moment, you know? Yeah. And I don't know shit about cars, and he did. And so I thought, oh, this would be great. My mom stepped in. She's like, no, we're going to buy my friend's Plymouth Horizon, which is not a Mustang.
No, it's not.
Shit. No. So then I just discovered the movie Christine, and I really identified with it, and I wanted to run over my mom.
Drive that motherfucker in a casino, bitch.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Maybe I went a different way with this movie than y'all did.
No, at no point in the viewing did I want to run over my mom.
I'm sorry.
That was not part of it for me either.
My mom's great. I don't know.
I just enjoyed even going back, watching it again recently, you know, when we were starting to review stuff. I liked that descent that, you know, the dude had. Like, he, you know, starts out like the shy, geeky kid, and it's just all the love that goes into this car, and then him kind of turning into that greaser character, you know? I liked that descent.
That was good. It was a very good display. I think it made me sad because I was like, oh, he's so cute and adorable. And I'm like, eh, get away from me, douchebag. Like, that's a tale as old as time. It's like, oh, he's cute. Oh, god damn it.
He's just a douchebag with a nice car.
Douchebag with a car. God damn. No, but I thought that it was very well acted by him.
Yeah.
The lead character, whoever the fuck he is, did a great job.
dude did all right.
He did all right. We'll go with it. We'll go with it.
The a part of what I think that this movie is like super backloaded. Like all of the good shit is in the second half, and the first half is too long and too sparse. There's like, think of how much time we spent in the high school in the first half of this movie, when all you needed to do was introduce the girl and the bully. That could have been a 4-minute scene. You could have done it all at once. But they spend so much time in that fucking high school. Also, the bully, what's a buddy? Is that his name? The dude with the fucking Lash LaRue sideburns? It's like, that might be the biggest offender of, you're supposed to be in high school? Are you 42? How fucking old was this guy?
Thank you. So glad you brought that up. Because every time he was on screen, that's all I could think about. I was like, this is not right. This is not right.
This dude has been held back a lot.
Like, is this dude the janitor? Does he work at the school? That's a thing in any high school. Like, that's a thing in any high school fiction, especially movies or TV shows, where it's like, all right, I get that you can't cast 15-year-olds for this, but like, yeah, try a little harder than that, dog. And I thought they did fairly well with everybody else, so he really sticks out.
No, he does. I was like, he's posing for like some young vagine. That's what this guy's doing.
Like, you're buying all these kids beer for sure.
Oh, there was a kid that I actually went to school with, and keep in mind, this was in junior high, all right? And this kid looked 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like around that junior high time, a lot of the boys start getting that little peach fuzz mustache. He could grow like a fairly convincing mustache. Looked like an old dude that you would see in rural North Dakota. In junior high, this kid is just like waltzing over to the convenience store across from the school at lunch and just picking up cigarettes.
Right.
Renting porno tapes.
Is that David Crosby? No, I'm in junior high. I'm 15.
I feel like when we were growing up, and I'm a little younger than you, but like, I feel like when we were growing up and your generation before that, I feel like kids looked older and now they just keep looking younger. Right? Like, younger people look super young compared to back in the day. Or am I wrong on that? I don't know.
I think that might just be where you are at in time.
Oh, okay. That's just me.
Yeah.
Being jelly.
Yep. In another 5 years, you'll be like, oh my God, Jack was right.
Okay.
What the fuck?
All right. Well, damn. Okay.
See, if I see younger people like out at a bar or something, and it's like, that person is clearly 21, but it's like, at first glance, it's like, are you 11? For whatever reason, I think everybody younger than me looks like a literal child.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
I just got no time for the youth of America today.
Fuck them.
With their TikToks and their silly dances.
Yeah. Yeah, POD's Youth of the Nation wasn't made for you children. Get out of here.
Yes. Amen.
Speaking of POD, Marlon, you may not have heard about this story, but this was fairly close to us here in Huntsville. There was a POD concert about a week and a half ago, and apparently someone got pretty rowdy at that POD concert. They were asked to leave. They left. They got into their car. And they drove into the venue.
Oh, just entered it via car.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah. Maybe earlier in the day, they had just watched Christine. Like, I'll show you, bullies.
Maybe they just wanted to be at the concert, but listen to something better on the radio.
Ooh, snap. I was going to say, how do you get that? Like, I like POD. I'm not gonna shit on POD, but I'm like, how do you get that pissed off for POD?
Right?
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, that's the hill you're going to die on?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hill you're going to drive a car into a building for?
That's the one you're going to crash into? Okay.
Man. Well, I mean, apparently, you know, satellite hit you real hard.
Yeah, my first question was, POD is still putting on shows out there, huh? And my second question was, how rowdy can you get at a POD show? Like, we're moshing for the Lord, y'all. I get it. They start playing Boom and you get your chemicals all up. I get it. It's a banger. But, like, you got to restrain yourself. Don't you feel so alive?
Fucking A.
I mean, they might have gone expecting their banger of a tune, Lights Out, off the TMNT movie, not got it, and be like, I want to drive a car into this fucking building.
That would have been me. You're not going to play the Ninja Turtle song? That's it. I'm getting the car.
Vroom, vroom.
Where's the keys? Grab the keys.
So no, anyway, thanks. Christine.
Christine. Yeah, no, not my jam.
Not your jam.
Not
all right.
My jam.
Now, are there Stephen King movies or books that you do like that you're into?
Here's my problem. Maybe I need to culture myself more. I don't read. I don't read.
There was just something so definitive. The exclamation point you put on the I don't read.
I don't read. I won't be conned into reading. Don't you dare ask me to read. Mama ain't reading shit. No, I don't read Stephen King books.
Oh, boy.
So I'm guessing you two are avid readers. I didn't know that about you. Are you two avid readers?
Marlon more so than I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that explains why I'm an idiot, because I don't read shit. I don't fucking know what's going on in the world today. Unless Jack tells me about it, I'm like, I don't fucking know. Pumpkin spice. Got it. That's all I got for today.
I'm out here barely reading street signs. Main Avenue. What the fuck? Thank God they invented the lights so that Lily doesn't have to read.
Oh, man. What was the question? What were we talking about?
So books are off the table.
Books are out. Throw that off the shelf.
Stephen King movies? Are there movies that you enjoy?
I do like The Shining, even though he was not impressed with The Shining.
Right.
Obviously like The Shining. I'm trying to think of all this. Misery was Stephen King, wasn't it?
Hell yeah.
I think Misery, from my limited viewing, is probably my favorite, because I fucking love that movie.
That is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I know I've seen different ones. I couldn't tell you the names of them.
All right.
Yeah. I don't necessarily hate on Stephen King at all.
Okay. No. Marlon, where's your Stephen King love at?
I like most of them. Like I said before, I think most Stephen King movie adaptations are at least good. I think there's a couple great ones. I think you catch me on the right day, I might tell you Misery is the best Stephen King adaptation. There's some fucking clunkers in there. What is it? Dreamcatcher? That's no good.
Ugh.
What else? I don't really care for Cujo.
Oh, Cujo. I forgot fucking Cujo.
Yeah. You apparently are more excited about that one than Marlon.
I love Cujo.
I don't care for the movie because it's like, I really love the book is what that is that differentiator for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where the movie really did the book a disservice.
Mm. See, that's why Lili Dolrish, you don't get disappointed.
Oh, right. I shouldn't be reading. You're right. This is my fault. I shouldn't have been dressed that way. my biggest disparity between boy howdy do I like this book and boy howdy do I hate this movie is The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, because that book is outstanding. That book is outstanding, and that movie is dog shit. I hate that movie.
And apparently the movie, or they're remaking the movie again, and it's going to be closer to the book.
Put the book's ending in it, you cowards.
No shit. Leanne, since you don't know what we're talking about,
I'm
now,
zoned out.
We'll yeah, you were over there just doing some needle points.
I'm sorry. I was fiddling with this piece of paper.
Are they talking about books? I'm going to work on my doily.
This,
Fuck a doily. My mother has doilies everywhere.
Fuck a doily.
Fuck a doily.
Buck reading, fuck a doily. I ain't even going to read your cross stitch on the doily.
I don't give two fucks and their doilies and fucking reading.
Damn.
I don't put no words on my cross stitch, just pictures.
I want pictures only. Spoilers for the Running Man book. That was a ending that post 9/11 made a lot of people nervous.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Running Man novel is spectacular.
Okay.
And have you seen the Running Man movie?
So good.
No, I don't
that's
know.
Right. You've only seen like three Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I forgot who I was talking to.
Shit. I didn't want Marlon to get in on this conversation at all whatsoever.
Yeah, no. I think Kindergarten Cop was a perfect jumping in point for you. I think that was about perfect. Yeah.
Hey, they can't read either, so
whatever. Yeah. Fuck it.
I don't know anything about Running Man.
Okay, fair enough.
No.
Well, the movie, since you're never going to read the book.
Right.
The movie is basically they take criminals, put them on a reality television show where they have to face these like souped up versions. They're almost like cartoon versions of hunters. Like there's a dude named Dynamo who's just this big fat dude in electrical armor that sings opera and electrocutes people. There's like a dude that comes at you with buzz saws and shit, and they put it on reality television, and you get to bet on who dies next, and they try to pass it off like there's some sort of commentary in there, but the book did it way better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it still had Arnold cracking wise and throwing some bad puns out there, so you know.
Okay.
There was that
added to our list.
And Jesse Ventura got a paycheck, and I'm all for Jesse Ventura getting work, especially back then. Maybe not now when he's a little out there. We kind of lost the body at some point, but especially back then, I loved seeing Jesse Ventura in stuff. So
that's true. Between Running Man and Predator, two movies which Leanne has not seen.
Hey.
We'll get her brought up to speed on that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Christine today. On episode 2 of Hell Comes to Huntsville. What did you guys think, like, once the movie actually did kind of start picking up? Marlon, like you said, it was a very backloaded movie. Like, once the car starts doing shit, like, you know, running people over, like squeezing down that alley, like, I love that scene.
That was a fantastic scene.
I like that. I liked when the car rebuilds itself.
I made a note to bring that up. I really like the car effects, the rebuilding itself effects, like all the dents coming out and the pieces going back to where they're supposed to be, especially for 1983. I think that looks good as hell.
Uh-huh.
That looks super well done. It looks super real. And I even put here, like, I made like a few notes and I was like, I would just love to see more of that shit. Like, that was super well done. And I'd love to know how they did it, because it looked fantastic for when it was made.
So I want to say they had like 15, 16 different versions of that car.
Uh-huh.
And for that particular scene where it's, you know, kind of like rebuilding itself, it was a lot of like tubes and basically things just like pressing it out back from, you know, the inside of the car out. All practical, like, you know, throwing a little camera trickery.
Mm-hmm.
And 1983, baby, they made it happen.
I almost wondered if it was inflatable, like if it was like an inflatable where like they blew it out.
Kind of, yeah, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's, okay. Yeah.
They had some effects wizards on that one. Mm-hmm. Super cool.
I had a similar thought. Like, did we just make a rubber car for some of this?
Some of the scenes, actually, the car was, pieces of it were just like, you know, soft or hard rubber in different shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that at the end of the movie, there were only two cars that were left intact. And one of them sold a few years ago for like $150,000 on auction.
Damn.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. Also, like, this movie tickles a really specific nerve for me. I love, like, I'm not a big car guy. I like muscle cars, but I'm not like, yeah, cars. Oh, get them on my dick. But, like, I do like cars. In particular, late 50s boats like that Plymouth Fury. I love, like, the late 50s Bel Airs, anything with fins. I love fins on an old 50s car.
Yep.
And so, like, just, like, the car in this movie didn't, if it was on screen, it didn't even have to be doing anything for me to be like, yeah, look at that fucking car.
Hit me in all the right spots. What would you guys say is, 'cause to me, there are certain Stephen King movies that you can identify with on a personal level. This one to me is one that I can identify with because I could totally see myself just getting so obsessed with a car, falling down that path, having my car go kill people. I would be okay with that.
That's not shocking to either one of us, is it, Marlon? At all.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that checks out.
I mean, it's better than saying, you know, I wish I was a clown that could rip kids' arms off.
shit.
I mean, debatable, but I'd rather have the car.
Come on.
Your stance on children is noted on this podcast.
I don't think I'd ever be that obsessed with a car. I don't think I would be. But if anybody did mess with my car, I would want to have it run them over.
Yeah.
Very much so. I'm fine with killing shitty people.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That's cool.
Leanne running over all of her high school bullies with this fucking car of hers. But it's whatever Leanne's first car was, a fucking 91 Celica, whatever it is, just this demon Celica. I'd watch that movie. Give us a reboot of Christine, but the kid's first car is 20 years old the way Christine is in this movie, making it a 2001, and it's just like a fucking Camry.
Coming at you with an Eagle Talon.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd watch that. I'd watch the shit out of that.
I think I might actually read that book.
Oh, shit.
I might actually pick up that book.
The car drove Leanne. The car drove. It's gonna be a long fucking book. Oh. Just books on tape. You do books on tape.
Oh, Audible. Let's Audible that shit.
Or meet in the middle and get like those kids books that we had when I was a kid where you read along while the tape played. So you put the tape in and then it like made a chime whenever you had to turn the page.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'll help me learn.
That's some fucking super old man shit, apparently. I don't know. Maybe I was the only one with those. Maybe I did. I fever dream those.
No, dude, that was a thing. That was legit.
I don't remember those.
Oh, okay, then it must have dropped off somewhere between you and Marlon.
Yeah, I don't remember them at all.
Yeah, I remember those.
No. Mm-mm. I remember the books you open and you push the button for the cow to go moo.
Ah, the last book she read.
The first and the last.
Oh, boy, howdy.
So anyways, Christine?
Christine, yeah.
I don't know how to say titular, but I know what sound the cow makes. Okay, so
look, yeah, I got to find positives where I can find them.
and apparently for you, Leanne, very few positives found in Christine.
Yes, very okay. few. I think I'm really along with Marlon on this one, almost to a T. Like, it took forever to set up. You didn't need to take that long. But once it did stuff, I was cool with it. So I think it just just need to be trimmed up a little bit more streamlined.
I get you.
You know, I also, I really loved
like
the
car.
Yeah. See, you got it. Hey. I also like at the end, you know, when it that there's at some point where it crashes in, it comes back and it looks like it's got teeth. I was like, I like that shit.
Yeah. That shit's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. So yeah, there were parts of it that I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the premise. It was just boring.
Okay.
Yeah. Overall.
Well, there's another Stephen King killer car movie called Maximum Overdrive.
Oh.
Maybe that one will be a little more action-packed for you. We'll check that one out at some point. Got Emilio Estevez in it.
Oh, Estevez.
Yeah, AC/DC doing the soundtrack. And a coked out of his mind Stephen King directed.
No shit.
Yeah.
Stephen King did coke?
Oh, my God.
Was he a druggie?
Oh, my God. You're so precious.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Stephen King has gone on record by saying that he did so much cocaine during the making of Maximum Overdrive, he literally does not remember making Maximum Overdrive.
No shit.
Yeah.
I just see him as this wholesome man in a rocking chair with a blanket, and he writes his stories. I don't know where I got that from.
Apparently, just writing the stories didn't get the demons out.
Eh.
He had to kill it with cocaine.
Okay, well, you can get a lot of shit with cocaine.
That's true. Yeah, Stephen King loved that nose.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to have to read up on that.
Yeah, Maximum Overdrive is a banger. Marlon, you agree with that too, don't you?
I do. I really like Maximum Overdrive quite a bit. This one, like, there's a couple notes. Really great to see Robert Prosky. I never remember how to pronounce his last name. The guy who plays Darnell, who owns the junkyard.
Oh, yeah.
I love seeing him in shit. And I feel like it's pretty rare that you do. And I love that dude. An alum of easily my favorite Schwarzenegger film. So Lily hasn't seen it, but he's in it and he's great.
Yeah, that dude. He was a great character actor. Like he was in a, like, as you, Leanne, maybe go back through, you know, maybe even some future Huntsville video stuff. You're like, oh, that guy, I love him.
I already did that with his movie. I couldn't tell you what he was in, but I know I had seen him several times before, or felt like I had seen him several times before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Marlon said, when we get to what Marlon and I consider to be the best Schwarzenegger movie, he's in that. He's a really awesome role in that one.
Can you say which movie it is? What movie is it?
Should we say it, Marlon?
You don't have to.
It's up to you. It's your show.
Last Action Hero.
Oh, okay.
But that's a movie, and Marlon and I have had side conversations off microphone, off podcast about this particular movie for you. We have to introduce you to more Schwarzenegger. You can't just jump in to Last Action Hero. We've agreed.
That's fine. I won't be too eager. I'll just ride the wave, baby.
All right. So Marlon, some closing thoughts on Christine.
Liked it, didn't love it. I really, man, the pacing issues, especially in the front half, are a little tough to get through. But I think once it jumps off, it's real fucking good. That bully is too old. There's some logistical issues once the car starts going on its car murders. Like, I don't know, if a devil car is chasing you, maybe don't run straight down the middle of the highway.
Thank you.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on in this movie. Like, that doughy kid that gets pinned in the alleyway, like, on his way there, he passes so many chest-high obstacles that he could just climb up on and get away from this car. But it's a movie, so you gotta have fun with that.
That pissed me off, too, because I was like, why don't you just... The car was slow to crush him as it's going into that little alleyway. It's like, why? You could have gotten on top of the car. At least the car wouldn't crush you that way. Just run over it.
I mean, homeboy didn't look that agile to begin with.
I mean, I'm not agile at all. And I was like, I think I'd lift my fat ass up on top of that damn car if it's trying to kill me. At some point, your adrenaline kicks in.
That's fair.
There's the scene when Buddy, the main bully, gets run over while the car is on fire, which, by the way, fucking ruled. That was the coolest visual. That car just all on fire, just all the way fire. And the when they're like, that's one where I watched and I was like, in my head trying to be like, how the fuck did they film that? Mm-hmm. Just from like a purely stunts and props perspective, like, hey, stunt guy, get in this car that we are going to have be all the way on fire and just drive. Yeah, just drive a while. We'll get some shots. Like, that was one where, like, there were a handful of good car stunts in this, but that was the one where I was like, holy shit, that had to have been a nightmare to pull off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you don't get stuff like that anymore nowadays. That would be all CG.
Yep.
It might look convincing, but there's still that little part of your brain that knows, that's not real. But then you see something like Christine, and like you said, Marlon, it's like, how the fuck did they pull that off? Like, there were meetings, there were lunches where we're like, okay, how are we going to do the car on fire scene?
Yeah, that was creating. That was creation.
Yeah.
Yeah, on figuring ways to do that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That was one of the raddest shots of the film.
There were for sure stunt guys behind the camera doing rock, paper, scissors to see who had to be the one to drive the fire car. Like, oh man, I don't want to drive this fucking fire car. But all in all, takes a long time to get going, but once it does, it's fucking rad. I give it 4 out of 5 on the Bell scale.
All right, 4 out of 5 Bells. Leanne, where do you put it?
2.75.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go with a 3.5.
Ooh.
For Christine, 3.5 out of 5. I just, like I said, I really liked the story of a boy in his car, and it just happened to be a fucked up evil story. You know, sometimes you get like the happy pure version. Other times you get the, if I'm going to hell, I'm dragging all you fuckers with me version. And we know which side of the scale
sometimes
I tend to land
on. Sometimes there's
a
devil in your car.
Yeah. Roll that by a church on a Sunday. See what happens to you. Vroom, vroom, bitch.
At Planned Parenthood in the summer.
Yeah. Taking the right people out of this protest line.
Fucks yeah, we are.
So tomorrow, let's do a movie that none of us have seen. We've technically already have seen it. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, pulling back that curtain, showing you how the
magic,
the treats are tricked.
Fuck you.
I don't think that's a real phrase, but I think it ought to be now.
Yeah, I just coined a phrase here on Hell Comes to Huntsville. Fuck you, Leanne.
All right, okay.
Let me show you how the treats are tricked.
Tit for tat. That's why you're the titular character of this.
Titular.
Titular. Titler. Titler.
I'm the titler. I am the titler. I need a costume.
Girl, you got to do more reading.
Let's check out a movie that has come out recently in the wave of movies showing up in theaters, not really showing up in theaters, coming straight to streaming on demand. Let's talk about 2021's Malignant.
Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's a good word.
Can you pronounce that word?
Malignant.
Good job, Leanne.
Comma, bitch.
Cold sticker.
This movie, Malignant, everywhere on my social meds, it seems like everyone on Facebook and Twitter talking about Malignant, either good or bad. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, this is a movie that when before I watched it, I did not know anything about it. Mm-hmm. But like Marlon said, it's overtaken my social media feed as well. Like everyone's saying, no spoilers, but this was a piece of shit. Or no spoilers, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
Nothing in the middle about this movie.
Yeah, likewise. So, a lot of polarizing thoughts.
Yep. Much like, I mean, everything else in America, why not a new movie?
I'm curious if we'll all be completely on the same side or if we'll be opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's find out tomorrow on Hell Comes to Huntsville, a collaboration between Huntsville Home Video and America's Barley Basket. My name is Jack Spade. With Leanne Foster, you can find us every Monday on Huntsville Home Video, of course. You're probably already subscribed, which we thank you very much for. You should also subscribe to our buddy Marlon's podcast. Marlon, tell us where they can find America's Barley Basket.
You can find America's Barley Basket wherever you get your podcasts. Whatever you're listening to on now, you can also find it. And you can find us all over the social media networks at Barley Basket USA.
All right. So be back tomorrow to see if we're all on the same page with Malignant. Until then, be kind and rewind.
Yo, that car's on fire. Now I feel like I have to do one every time.